B-Pod Studios.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 Sports Hub.
From the Town Fair Tire Studio, it is Gasper and Murray here on 98.5 the Sports Hub. Morning, Chris. How are you? You all right? A little fired up because of the equipment?
Yeah, this is not a great start. I'm not in a great mood at this point.
I've had those days, believe me. I flipped out on the computers, the chairs.
Yeah, the chair. We have a chair issue here.
We do have a chair issue.
We have a real chair issue.
I know. Poor us with our soft hands and our fake jobs. Uh-huh. We're with you for the next 3 hours. That, of course, will include the Sports Hub Celtics show at noon, where I will explain why I have given up on the Celtics getting out of the East, backed by statistical fact. We'll get some insight on some of the coaching decisions made by Brad Stevens as of late, like Kyrie Irving being the second option again on the last shot in Milwaukee. Brian Robb, Boston Sports Journal, producing the show. He'll be joining us. We'll talk about Kyrie Irving's continued bitchiness, whether or not this is signaling he's out this summer. We'll do a fair amount of the Patriots offseason. Why you, Chris, bullish on the Patriots making a trade for Odell Beckham Jr., which I mostly agree with. But to open up today quickly, I do have to address the elephant in the room for just a few minutes. If you want to step away from the table, Chris, I'll understand. I'll take all this. But if you want, you can chime in.
Okay.
We all know what the biggest story over the last 24 hours is. The charges levied against Patriots owner Robert Kraft in Jupiter, Florida. Do we know all the details? Obviously not. Not a great look. I think we can all admit that. But as mentioned by Mike Felger at the top of yesterday's Felger and Maz, management has asked us to mostly avoid the topic. If you can't understand that, all right. Let me break it down for you in the simplest of terms. We're the flagship station of the New England Patriots. It's in our best business interest to avoid it. I, like everybody else, would like to keep my cushy job. Does that make me a lapdog? Woof. Don't like it? I don't know what to tell you. Go yell into the void on social media. Go start a podcast that nobody's going to listen to. Go to the lesser station and be bored there for 5 minutes and then join us again. All that being said, I do have to say a couple of things about this. I want to take a couple of minutes to talk about something more in just relation to this story, and that's how it further proves, to me at least, we are living in the dumbest time in recorded history. The fake moral hand-wringing that this story has brought out is unbearable in just not even 24 hours. This story broke yesterday around noonish. We're coming up on 24 hours. It's already out of control. And I shouldn't be surprised by any of it. It just, I guess it makes me more disappointed in humanity, really, because this week, this has blown my mind, but I guess I shouldn't be surprised again. This week, we have a story of a guy who's essentially a Nazi in the U.S. Coast Guard, who's looking to pull off a mass murder of epic proportions.
Of congressmen and women.
Right.
Yes.
Emulating what that Anders Breivik nut did in Norway about 5 years ago, and if you don't know that story, Google it. It's horrifying. Thankfully, the guy's caught, and that story, Chris, was met with...
Yeah, basically a giant shrug.
Yeah, one big shrug. This thing yesterday, where Robert Kraft, by the way, is being charged with two misdemeanors, is being covered with the lust of the OJ trial from 20-some-odd years ago. Meanwhile, by the way, just in terms of sports, sordid sports stories, Syracuse head coach Jim Boeheim killed a guy this week. No big deal. Coaching tonight against Duke. Now, he wasn't drunk. He wasn't arrested or anything like that. Still seems a little bit sketchy to me. But
does seem a little odd, I do have to say.
Just in terms of the optics, I don't know, Jim Boeheim, I know how important Syracuse basketball is to that region. Maybe take this one off. But that's just me. But I do feel the need, just for a few minutes, to mock some of the idiots that are already losing their minds over this story, because people like this, I think, should be shamed into oblivion for their stupidity. And I want to start with Bart Scott, former New York Jet, turned terrible broadcaster who does a midday show nobody listens to at WFAN in New York. This is just a portion of what he feels should happen to Robert Kraft. Again, just two misdemeanor charges. Again, not a good look, but here's what he had to say.
I might take the entire draft from them. It has to be something that cripples the organization, because this is a black eye. You talk about conduct detrimental. I mean, what can be more detrimental than the owner to face? You can't listen. Money can't hurt him. You know, I don't want to hear about, you know, waiting till all the facts come out, because the fact that he's ever even implicated in that means that he has to go on instant suspension. They have to figure out who's going to run that team. You can suspend him and say that he can't be around the organization for a year. I think you start there until the pending investigation. And if it comes out that it's worse than what even is imagined or reported, then you have to have some strong consideration, you know, about him not being the owner of that team anymore. But it starts with the draft picks. That's the way you hurt the team. They lost draft picks for Deflategate.
Spygate.
I mean, you look, you know, they mishandled the Aaron Hernandez situation. And we always say that they're the class of the NFL. You know, if you add those four things into it, it's not showing a lot of class. And I told you guys he was acting reckless the last couple of weeks ago. I told you.
Frankly, he's over the last at least year or so.
Since he lost his wife.
Oh, boy. I mean, losing draft picks, have him removed from the team. Doesn't even matter if apparently to Bart Scott, doesn't even matter if the Chargers come true. Now, I get my back up about guys like this for a reason. I've explained this before to you, Chris. It's because, you know, I've grinded here for 20-plus years in the goofy radio industry that has, you know, it's as volatile a business as you can work in. But I finally,
unforgiving.
After 20-some-odd years, I'm finally at a place where I'm comfortable and I'm really happy and I'm working at an amazing station. But just it just proves, again, for every great ex-professional athlete turned broadcaster, your Zoes, your Ted Johnsons, your Lou Maloney's, you have morons like Bart Scott and others like Cordell Stewart and even other guys around here just stealing money just because of their name. And they get to yammer on with inane nonsense like that. Like, oh, my God. And then you have actual broadcasters. And this one also, they credit to Tutcher and Rich who have mocked this guy mercilessly here over the last year and a half. This one, you thought that was good from Bart Scott? Well, let's go down to my former station, 92.9 The Game in Atlanta, and hear from their midday host, Rick Camlo, who I believe is the worst radio host in America.
The human trafficking part is way more alarming to me. Mm-hmm. It's all alarming. It's all nefarious. Human trafficking?
Yeah,
human trafficking? You can't. It's hard to go much lower than that with your criminal behavior. And let's keep track here. They cheated their way into Super Bowls, right?
Mm-hmm.
You had Deflategate, right? They continue to employ players with a very checkered past, right?
Yep.
We call it the evil empire for a reason, ladies and gentlemen. I hope Robert Kraft, loses his job and gets like booted and has to sell the team and the whole thing, because I would like to see this absolutely blow up into a nightmare for that guy. Obviously, he's the enemy. He's on the other side. They stole what was rightfully ours, and screw him. I hope he goes down over this.
And charges filed, two misdemeanors, no arrest. And that's the kind of fake moral outrage that you're getting from radio hosts
that's
and other
bad.
Talking heads throughout the country.
Well, you know what would be more responsible is if they actually took the time to talk about the scourge of human trafficking.
Right, and don't get any of this twisted. Obviously, a horrible thing. And so this is where, and Mike brought this up yesterday, too, and I thought it was a fair point. This is where it's almost unfair. Again, like if this all comes to fruition and it's true, like a bad look, we can agree on that. But that people just read the headline. They see human trafficking, Robert Kraft. They immediately put one and one together. Like, that's
– yeah.
There's an unfairness on behalf of any of these guys that got – you know, that are being charged with this, that it's like, hey, look.
Well, it's also unfair, though, to the real victims that, you know, we're spending all this time talking about, you know, Robert Kraft and the, you know, the fake moral outrage and poor Robert Kraft. And meanwhile, we should be talking about these women who were forced into sexual servitude. Now, look, I think Robert Kraft, I agree with most of what you played here, Jim, and I knew this was going to happen. I basically said it yesterday, like, people are just looking for a scandal with the Patriots, anything to knock the Patriots down. But at the same time, you know, look, the reality is he was going to this place, and the real question, and we don't know the answer to it, is did he know that these women were being held against their will at this Orchids of Asia place in Jupiter, Florida? Did he have any idea that they were being held against their will and forced to perform these acts? Or did he just think that this was a place that was, you know, trying to make money in a lurid way? And that's like a real question. And to me, that makes a big difference in sort of how you look at this thing. Because if he had any idea that this was going on, then it's morally reprehensible. You know, if he didn't have any idea that it was going on, then he was going to that place. And, you know, again, I'm not going to judge, you know, somebody else what they do in their private time. Technically, it's illegal, but, you know, how many is he the only person who's done that? No. So I think it really sort of depends on just how much all these guys knew about what was happening at that place. And even if they don't know, right, given some of the money of the people involved in this thing, they know that they're, to some degree, taking advantage of these women.
And with that, we'll push away from the table because, again, management has asked us, don't spend much time on the story. And you know what? I will obey. because I want to keep my cushy job. And you don't like that? Oh, by the way, yeah, same with yesterday. No calls on this. Please don't bother B-Rob with this. If you do, you'll just get hung up on. We're not taking them. So that's all. Just want to get that out there now. Had to address it. I was bottled up with some things I wanted to say about it. Oh, and just real quick, too.
Yeah.
Because you look at the list of those being charged, and a lot of older men. More than anything else, just personally, I can't imagine any scenario that I am that horned up and worried about sex at that age, near 80 years old. I can't even fathom it like 20 years from now, Chris. 60? The only thing I hope to care about at that age, where am I golfing? I hope this lump isn't cancer. And what's the soup of the day? Because when I'm old, all I want to have is soup every single day. Worried about sex at like 77, 80 years old. It's exhausting just to think about. So that's all. Let's focus on this Odell Beckham Jr. thing. You wrote about it this week.
Yeah.
Are the Patriots really in on him? The more I think about it, I think the more I'm into it. So we'll touch on that in the Patriots offseason coming up next year. Hey, good morning, everybody. It's Gasper Murray here on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 Sports Hub.
And Manning's going to heave one. There's a flag. Beckham, one-handed catch. How in the world?
Oh, my goodness.
And Brandon Carr was back there. I mean, he is insane. How do you make that catch?
Oh, my goodness. That may be the greatest catch I've ever seen in my life.
It's in the conversation.
Wow.
I don't think everybody realizes, and I didn't realize this, how close Odell Beckham Jr. was to being traded last year, Mike. I mean, it was really close. Of course, we knew the conversations. You and I were at the owners' meetings together. But here's the big thing that I found out towards the end of the year, really, more than anything, with Odell Beckham Jr. The Giants were going to trade him, and I think they were really looking and listening to all offers. You know what really stopped it? And I think this is what's going to shock people. This is from everything I know of multiple sources. The thing that stopped the trade conversation with Odell Beckham Jr. is because the team that was most aggressive in pursuing him was the New England Patriots. The New England Patriots were trying to get Odell Beckham Jr. all last offseason.
Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. Chris Sims on Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio earlier this week, saying Odell Beckham Jr., the Patriots were in on him last offseason, which I fully believe, Chris. I mean, if you look at what they were dealing with at the beginning of last season, an old, useless Eric Decker. They brought back Kenny Britt again. Jordan Matthews gets hurt, didn't catch on. Malcolm Mitchell's Triscuit knee, never recovered. Julian Edelman popped for PEDs, going to miss the first four games of the year. You cut to the middle of September. They trade for Josh Gordon, who's one of the most unreliable players in the history of the league. Although, you know, for 11 weeks here, he mostly panned out, but unfortunately found himself at the bottom of a bottle once again. They were desperate to find a playmaker at wide receiver. They had very little depth. So to me, it makes sense. And then you followed this week with a column in the Globe. Odell Beckham to the Patriots. It's not fantasy football, which I think may as well read Odell Beckham to the Patriots. F you, Felger.
I wish I could put that headline in there.
So, first, do you believe what Chris Sims said? And second, explain why you think that this actually could come to fruition.
Yeah, I mean, I do believe what Chris Sims said, and it would make some sense because I think, first and foremost, you know, Bill Belichick is a connoisseur of talent. I mean, he loves talent, and this guy is wildly talented, and I think that he has not reached his full potential, and he could certainly do that here in New England. Now, obviously, circumstances were a little different last year in terms of his contract. He was just going into the fifth-year option at that point for more than $8 million. But I can't see the Patriots being in a position where they would give up what it would take to get Odell Beckham Jr. either last year or this year and just say, oh, we look at this as like a one-year rental. You know, I don't think that makes a lot of sense. So I know a lot of people are upset about his contract at this point. The, you know, the five-year, $95 million extension that he signed with the Giants that, you know, really sort of kicks in this year. But if you really break down the contract, yes, those base salaries are high, like the 16.75 this year. But if you really break it down, it's essentially 3 years, $47 million. You could actually get out of it after 2 years and about 31.25 if you want. But 3 years, $47 million, that's what Sammy Watkins makes, you know? And so for Sammy Watkins' money, you get Odell Beckham Jr., who was one of the most dynamic offensive players in the game, and you can stick him out there for your 42-year-old quarterback who can throw a 7-yard slant to him and watch this guy take it 70 yards for a touchdown.
So thanks for saying that, because I think there's this misconception that he's just one of these streaked down the field type receivers. He's not. He goes over the middle.
No, yeah. I mean, he will go over the middle, and there is toughness there. And, you know, he can take it. He can take a short pass and make it into a long gain. So I just think this guy's really dynamic. And I think the biggest issues when I look at Odell Beckham Jr., I think they're maturity issues. And I think those are issues that can be addressed in Foxborough given the Patriots' structure, given the Patriots' reputation, and given the Patriots' penchant for winning. Like, you know how I feel about winning. I think it fixes a lot of things, and it takes a lot of people that maybe are, you know, for lack of a better term, turds, and polishes them up because they're happy because, you know what, they're winning. And so when I look at a lot of the stuff he does, you know, assaulting, kicking nets, and screaming on the sidelines, I think a lot of that stuff is born of the frustration of playing for the loser Giants.
Oh, yeah, no, because he's mostly put up great stats for a trash team with a washed-up bum at quarterback in Eli Manning, and especially even last year. He played 12 games at six touchdowns, 90 yards a game is what he was averaging. So I'm with you on that, and I'm with you in that I think as far as, you know, the quote-unquote diva behavior, I think a lot of it's been overblown. The blow-up on the field with Josh Norman a few years back.
Yeah.
If anything, okay, it's some competitiveness that went over the line.
Yeah, it's immaturity.
Yeah.
He lost his cool.
The kicking net thing... All right. Like, I hate that, but fine. It isn't really that bad, the big picture. The boat trip before the playoff game that made every, like, red-faced dad angry. Like,
stupid. That was dumb.
Dumb, but I thought a little bit overblown. Did that really play into them, you know, getting their ass kicked?
Also, it would never happen in New England.
Right. About the only and I forgot about this one. The one real bad look was the thing that happened about a year ago when the video popped up of him in, I think it was in France, with like an Instagram ass model, and there was coke all over the bed, and he's like smoking weed and eating pizza, and he looks all
over. Oh, I would have thought that would have been your favorite.
No, I mean, well, so look, Party Jim is like, all right, get it, Odell Beckham. But, like, Pat's fan Jim is like, oh, boy. Like, is there more there? And, you know, hopefully there's not a substance problem. But you just see that.
Well, if you just, I mean, again, and I have no idea what happened with Josh Gordon and his relapse. But if you just rolled the dice on Josh Gordon, is that going to really stop you from Odell Beckham Jr.?
No, not at all.
Instagram video of him with pizza and newsflash. Models and cocaine do kind of go together.
Yeah, just Google the name Kate Moss, and boy, nonstop through the 90s with her, allegedly. as I say that with a wink. More than anything else, it just speaks to their, you know, how much they need at wide receiver. So are there other guys I would prefer to see over Odell Beckham Jr.? Sure, because of these maturity issues. I'd much rather Emmanuel Sanders because I think there's a toughness
there. The Emmanuel Sanders, you know I love Manny Sanders, and I've loved him for a while. But I feel like people are forgetting that he's 31 and coming off a torn Achilles. Like, it's not I don't understand this sort of idea that, like, he's just going to show up in October and November and be the exact same guy.
Yeah.
What are we basing that on? No, that he tore his Achilles in December.
I'm just in love with what I had seen.
No, I am too, and I was so disappointed when he tore his Achilles. But, I mean, that's a serious injury.
Well, if not him, how about Golden Tate or Adam Humphries?
Adam Humphries I like. Go ahead.
Oh, those two specifically, Tate and Adam Humphries, who looks to be like an Edelman Welker type.
I like Tate a lot, but what's he going to get paid? I don't think it's going to be far off from
what Odell
Beckham Jr. has in the next 3 years of his deal. I mean, I think Tate's going to get paid, and I think Odell Beckham Jr. is younger. He's 5 years younger. He's a better player. He's more explosive, and I think his best years are still ahead of him. You know, at least I hope that's the case. I mean, I know there's been some health issues the last couple of years. You know, two seasons ago we had that ankle situation that dogged him, and then it became a fractured ankle and he was out for the year. You know, last year I think it was like a bruised quad or something like that. I'll go back and look it up. But I just think Odell Beckham Jr., you don't have to pay him that signing bonus. I know the base salaries are high, but you can convert some of that money to a signing bonus because you don't have his signing bonus on your cap.
Sure.
And prorate it and bring that cap number down. I mean, look, do I think it's likely? No. Do I think it's possible? Yes. Why I think it's unlikely is that you have to give up a lot. It's going to cost you. If you're looking at Brandon Cooks going for, you know, a first-round pick plus, and Amari Cooper cost a first-round pick.
Oh, the precedent's been set.
Yeah, the precedent's been set. You know what the baseline is. And Beckham's better than those guys. So it's a first-round pick plus what? You know, first and a third plus a conditional pick, maybe a two or a three the following year. That's a lot to give up. They don't have a ton of cap space, even though they can create it, as Belichick has said. You know, we all know cap space can be maneuvered in a variety of ways. And then there's the one that Felger has brought up a lot that, you know, it would probably make some waves from a salary standpoint in the locker room. But I worry about that one less because I think deep down, Bill doesn't really care about that. Like, I think he would just simply turn and say, do you want to win or not? And we didn't do this contract. This is not a contract we gave him. It's not a contract we would have given him. And they'd make Beckham renegotiate a little bit to try and make it, you know, a little more palatable. But at the end of the day, I don't really think that would stop them.
No franchise tag has been placed on any Patriots player yet, and there's certainly guys that are eligible from Trent Brown. We also have Steven Gostkowski. It seems like he's the one that's rumored to be getting it, which I can't stand. And
he locked up the Super Bowl with that kick.
And obviously Trey Flowers as well. We'll dive deeper into the Patriots offseason. Who should get that tag? Because I'm still banging the drum for Trent Brown, and I'll explain further coming up next here. But first, Tim McCone will get you caught up with the Sports Hub headlines. Then we'll be back right after this here. Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
So what is going to happen with you when you look into your crystal ball right now, Trent? Where do you see Trent Brown's future?
Hopefully it's somewhere where I can build some longevity, somewhere that'll be a great place, some great fit schematically in the locker room, on the field, and also a great fit for my family as well.
Any chance you're back in New England?
That's definitely something I would love, but hey, we're gonna cross that bridge when we get there.
Patriots left tackle, now free agent, Trent Brown, on with Adam Schefter of ESPN on his podcast earlier this week. Then, yeah, I'd love to be back with the Patriots. But it does sound like he's going to be dipping his toe into free agency. It's Gasper and Murray, 98.5, a Sports Hub. I feel like I'm out on an island with this guy because this is who I would like to see the Patriots place a franchise tag on. I don't think that that's going to happen at this point. You had, this opened up on the 19th when teams could start placing the tag on players. They haven't done so yet. It's either going to be him, Flowers, or Steven Gostkowski. And according to Mike Reese, ESPN, and others that cover the team, and certainly know a whole hell of a lot more than I do. That sounds like it's going to be Gostkowski getting it again. The last time that they used this in 2015, that's who got it. But in Trent Brown's case, I just like, okay, so the tag I think would be around $14.5 million or so for a player at his position. A lot of money, and I get it. There's some questions about his work ethic. He even said while here, doesn't really like watching tape, but they got the best out of him. While there were some dips, like the game in Pittsburgh, the loss to the Steelers, he was phenomenal in the postseason. Great pass blocker, run blocker, a mountain of a man. And I just look at it in terms of you have a 42-year-old quarterback. You need his blind side protected. If he goes, you're essentially telling me you're putting this job in the hands of Isaiah Wynn, a rookie who didn't play because he blew out his Achilles last year. That's a big risk. Again, we're talking about a 42-year-old Tom Brady. I think if you place the franchise tag on Brown, you essentially have that as insurance. He's your starter. Maybe Wynn comes along, and that's it. Say bye-bye next year. I don't like the idea of that job going to a rookie, or maybe they draft someone at that position, and that's who's going to get it, or maybe they move Cannon over, and then someone goes on the right. I'd like some stability on the line. That's why I would like him to get the franchise tag.
No, I mean, I hear you. You know, like you said, last year they haven't released the tag numbers yet. Last year the offensive line tag number was 14.077, and so that was not factoring in Nate Solder's big contract with the Giants. So let's see what it is this year. You're probably right around 14.5. I'm okay moving on from him, and it's not a reflection on him or his ability or the way that he plays. It's more my confidence in Dante Scarnecchia and the fact that, you know, I just think that he was in a contract year and you got the absolute best you're going to get out of him. I would have some concerns that if you hand him a big contract, is the dedication and attention to detail still going to be there?
It'll be Alan Branch all over again, essentially.
I mean, it's you know, whatever happened with Alan Branch obviously happened. I just think that he had a really good year, but you have some needs at other positions, and I think that Dante Scarnecchia is so good at what he does that they can figure it out. And I know that sounds weird to say at left tackle, but in terms of having rookies before, I mean, they've done it before. I mean, Matt Light came in, Nate Solder, you know, got an opportunity as well. So they've had a pretty good track record drafting at that position. If they take a guy high, Light was a second-round pick. Solder was a first-round pick. In fact, Solder, to my knowledge, is the highest-drafted offensive, because I've gotten ripped for this before. People get confused. Highest-drafted offensive player in the Belichick era.
So does this make it seem like Trey Flowers is going to be gone then? Because I would think, just considering how disruptive he can be, and he's been like the consummate professional and maybe their best player on defense since they drafted him, at least in the last couple of years, that he didn't get the tag, is he as good as gone?
If he doesn't get the tag, I think it'll be interesting. I think the Patriots will see how the market plays out. They're probably hoping that some teams just look at his sack numbers and they say, this guy's not, you know, a pure edge pass rusher. and they sell on him, they pass on him because they don't really know how good he is. I have to be honest, if I could give the franchise tag to one guy, it would be Trey Flowers. But I think they're sort of weighing, though, what does that do to your salary cap? Because now you are locked into some really high salary cap number at that point. You're going back and looking at it, you know, just going back and looking at some of the numbers from last year. I mean, you're going to be up around, you know, 14.
North of 16.
Yeah, exactly. Like. So, I mean, it's going to be really high to bring it for him. So that might be a situation where they prefer that they can sort of craft the contract. Also, I wonder if they feel like he's a guy that will give them a chance to match and also might take a little bit less to stay because he likes playing here.
Well, if you're him, too, don't you have to see how the market plays out? Because there's big names that are going to, you know, get mountains of money, you would think. Jadeveon Clowney, Dee Ford, Henry Anderson with the Jets.
DeMarcus Lawrence.
I forgot about him. So, I don't know. Like, in terms of his own best business interests, I would just, you know, even if I wanted to work with the Patriots and even take, you know, like you say, maybe a little bit of a hometown discount, I'd like to wait this one out for a few and see how the market plays out.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, all those guys we just mentioned, I think are probably regarded in the league as more pure pass rushers. That's not what the Patriots allow Trey Flowers to do, but he's so versatile and he's so disruptive within their system in terms of what the other team's trying to do. I think Trey Flowers is unique, and he's interesting in this sense from a Patriots standpoint in that I think he's one of those guys that literally has more value to them than to anybody else. Now, you could argue with Brian Flores going to Miami and he's going to run the same system that the value would be the same there. But I think given all the things they ask him to do and what he's able to do for them, that he has more value to them than he would just around the league in general.
We were talking about Odell Beckham Jr. in the prior segment. Chris said it's not fantasy football. The Patriots could and probably should try to make a move for him, considering the lack of depth at wide receiver. I mostly agree. I'd take Golden Tate first, but I can be talked into it because, again, what do you have there as of right now? Philip Dorsett also could be gone. Chris Hogan, based on the Super Bowl alone, targeted 6 times, 0 for 6. Yeah, some of those are on Brady, but doesn't look like to me he can get the same separation.
The separation wasn't there this year.
They need help there. Ron in New Jersey, you in on Beckham?
Well, cards on the table. First of all, I'm a Giants fan here in New Jersey. And for us, Odell Beckham is just a luxury we can't afford. We've got too many other holes. My question is, what's the price the Patriots would pay for him?
Well, Chris, you pointed out in your column that based on the precedent that's been set with guys like Amari Cooper, like Brandon Cooks here, it's at least a first.
At least a first
and a third.
Yeah, something like first, a third, and then probably something else that's like conditional, you know, based on how they sort of do it. If they pick up, you know, the back half of his contract in the second year, because the second year there's $2.75 million that's guaranteed. He gets it no matter what. But then the rest of it becomes guaranteed like the third day of the new league year. So technically at that point, if you wanted to get out of it, you could get out of it at that point. So maybe the situation would be, okay, once that gets locked in, then you owe us something else, whether it's another second round pick or another third round pick or something like that.
Well, speaking of the league year, it starts, we're tick-tock. We're getting closer and closer. We still don't have an official answer on Rob Gronkowski as to whether or not he's going to be back in the
fold.
That's
a big one, and I think that plays into the Beckham thing too, Jim.
Yeah, so we did get a little insight from Gronk's agent this week, and did Gronk himself drop a hint on Twitter? We'll discuss next in our long commercial-free segment, as we will also segue into the Sports Hub Celtics show at noon here on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Looking for commercials or
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I checked in with Rob a couple days ago. I've talked to the Patriots about it. Right now, Rob is he's thinking it through. You know, he's given it a lot of thought. Rob will certainly, I think, make a decision in the foreseeable future. I don't want to put any pressure on him and give him a time frame, but I would imagine that it will be sometime within the next couple of weeks.
Tick-tock. League year starts soon, Rob Gronkowski. Is it 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's March 13th, right?
Yeah. Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. So that's his agent that is, again, why am I drawing a blank? Drew Rosenhaus.
Drew Rosenhaus, speaking
earlier this week on ESPN NFL Live. Sounded like he was checking in from his bathroom or Skype or something. Gronk going to be sitting courtside tonight at the Syracuse-Duke game, by the way, for those of you that are going to watch that.
Oh, front row seat for Boeheim.
Yeah, right. That's so weird that he's coaching that game tonight. Be that as it may, the decision here after the Super Bowl, we're now, almost 3 weeks removed from that, the win over the Rams. So he said, okay, my decision is going to be a couple of weeks from then. Still nothing. And now it sounds like a couple of more weeks here from Drew Rosenhaus. Which way do you think that he's leaning?
I honestly don't know. I mean, you know, if it were me, I would retire if I were him. You know, given all the stuff he said before the game, I thought he was really open, honest, introspective about the toll physically and mentally that football's taken on him. I think in the afterglow of a Super Bowl like that, especially when you had such a big part in it, you feel like you can do it again. Here's the thing on Rob Gronkowski that I think maybe Rob has sort of lost track of, and I think a lot of Patriots fans have too. And look, I love the guy, so I hope he comes back, but my advice would be to retire. The way he played in the postseason, two of those three games, he had an extra week to be ready to go. That's not going to happen during the grind of the 16-game regular season where you're going to have all this extra time. And I do think that had something to do with him being able to perform at the level he did in those games. You know, I know obviously he wasn't a big part of the passing attack in the Chargers game, but he dominated blocking. He was huge against the Chiefs, and then he gets 2 weeks off to go against the Rams, and then that touchdown drive, he basically was responsible for it. So you don't want to get fooled by the fact you had this extra time to play in those games, time you won't have and time your body will not have if you come back for another regular season.
Well, and credit to you, too. You said that, you know, he, because I referred to him as Robert James Gronkowski, just yeah. another tight end throughout most of the regular season, because that's what he looked like, just another tight end. But you were saying you thought he still might have something left in the tank, and he did, but that had to do with the rest.
I think so.
I'm with you on this. At this point, too, I just want him to make the decision, and if I'm in his shoes, I retire. Like, I go off into the sunset here with, you know, your Turbo Hut girlfriend there. You try to have your WWE career or your, you know, your Chop Sucky movie career or whatever it happens to be. There's money-making opportunities for Rob Gronkowski. For that, there's no doubt. But considering, what is it, four back surgeries, yeah, ended up hearing it was I think Mike Giardi, NFL
Mike
Network,
had the quad.
Yeah, about the quad thing and how that really thing bad. Had to be drained, and yeah. that thing was really bad. Like, how much more of a beating can you take when you, like you say, you're not going to be able to get that rest? And then the other thing too is based on how the postseason played out, and even the end of the season of the postseason, your job description's changed. You're now more of a blocker than you are a pass catching tight end. Like, I don't know, the sexiness there is lost its luster a little bit. If I'm him, I don't know. I would walk at this point.
It sounds like your decision is mostly based around the Turbo Hot girlfriend.
Yeah, I mean, again, now you're like a hack Z-level movie star, too. That's easy money. Why not? Show up and be like off-brand, you know, The Rock.
Off-brand Vin Diesel.
Yeah, right.
off-brand Dolph Lundgren.
I do love reading far too much into social media posts from professional athletes. It's what I do, especially on Felgren Maz. So I wonder if he dropped a little bit of a hint just a couple of days ago on his official Twitter, at Rob Gronkowski. End of season sale. Everything must go bye-bye. Now, does he mean everything must go bye-bye in terms of what he's selling, or everything must go bye-bye, I'm leaving? And he links to GronkNation.com. It's all products, all official gear of Gronk Nation.
I think you're reading too much into this.
Probably. But, you really know, are. When I saw it, I was like, oh, are we getting a little bit of a hint
here? You are really waiting for that puff of white smoke from the Rob Gronkowski residence that will let you know whether he's playing or not.
I'm just a man who's desperate for content and things to talk about.
I mean, he's just trying to get rid of the rest of the gear he has yeah. left on Gronk Nation. You're telling me that's a signal he's retiring?
Well, yeah, no, maybe he's just trying to do, you know, the fans a solid here and, you know, 20% off everything, like this everything we got. Men's shirt here, now just $29.99. Oh, the bad boys here. It's the GOAT and Gronk. It's just an actual GOAT and not Tom Brady. He didn't okay. sign off on this. Bad Boys for Life, $26.99, was originally $32.99. Oh, see, okay.
Okay.
Everything must go.
Everything must go. They have excess merch, and he's trying to move it. I don't think that has anything to do with his retirement. But it's funny you bring that up, though. The one thing I would say is that, does that make it easier for him? He's a businessman. We know this. He's been tremendous at leveraging the Gronk brand. And so does that either help make his decision in this regard where he says, okay, I have all this money. We all know famously, you know, allegedly he hasn't touched any of his football money. It's all endorsement money and ancillary money. Does it make it easier for him to make his decision? Or does he look at it and say, I can leverage another year of this. The Patriots are supposed to pay me. I know we haven't even talked about that, but is part of what's delaying this trying to figure out what the Patriots will pay him next year?
I would think, you know, wouldn't... Look, if he's got anything left in the tank, and I think you could get one more solid year out of him, or mostly solid year, like, you know, I would want to be paid appropriately, and I don't know how much this guy likes doing all the extra stuff at this point, especially if he finds it somewhat useless, and he's better off, you know, taking some time off so you can get the best out of him with a little bit of rest. You also have Devin McCourty speaking this week on a podcast nobody's ever heard of, saying that he'll be back in 2019. That's what he says. What about the Patriots? Do you think he'll be back, considering that there's
I mean, I think it's interesting. It's sort of based on some of the other moves they make, but my guess would be that they would ask him to take a haircut, and would he do it? You know, coming off a Super Bowl, are they bringing Jason back too? Maybe he would do it to play another year with his brother, but that cap hit is $13.43 million. That's pretty high. And it's not a reflection of Devin's ability or his play, but a lot of guys know, veteran guys know, when you get to the last year of these lucrative deals, like these final seasons of these deals oftentimes are, you know, funny money. They're phony. Like they're from the moment that they're negotiated, the intention of the team is to never fulfill that obligation that final year. It's to renegotiate it. And that's for anybody. So I would be a little surprised if the Patriots just said, you know, here you go. Here's a $13.43 million cap hit. You know, maybe they try and extend him. If they can get a commitment from him to play another year or two beyond this year, then you can extend him and change those cap numbers a little bit. Or you say, hey, if you want to play one more year, we're going to have to adjust this thing. The interesting thing, though, about Devin is that I think he's such a person of a principle. He's one of the few guys on that team who I think would look at them and say, no, this is the contract. This is what you said I was supposed to make. No, I'm not taking a cut. So they would have to make it worth his while, I think. You know, there would have to be some more money tacked on.
Well, it feels like they're going to play a shell game with money with a lot of players, whether it's him, Gronk, Dante Hightower, and then Tom Brady. I know your colleague at the Boston Globe, Ben Volen, wrote about this. Also, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, wrote about this. There was something behind the paywall on ESPN about this, that priority number one for this team this offseason is to restructure Tom Brady or extend him. Do you agree with that?
Well, I do. The cap hit's insanely high. I mean, it's a $27 million cap hit. So taking out the fact that he's not properly compensated, and this is where I think it gets sticky and tricky for them, because of the way his contract is structured, you know, doing one of these extensions and properly compensating him and lowering that cap hit is not easy. So I think he's going to end up doing what he's always done, which is taking far less than he's worth. And just them extending it, I think you can prorate some of that stuff out. I mean, if he wants to play till 45, if I were them, I would just sign him to the contract that locks him into that now. You have him 42, 43, 44, 45. That's 4 years on the deal. And that gives you wiggle room to, you know, play with these contracts and renegotiate them. That's 4 years to prorate something out over, as opposed to, you know, two or three.
Man, looking at this GronkNation.com and all this junk that Gronk is peddling here, of course he has one shirt that reads, I got 69 problems, but three rings ain't one. Well, now you have more rings, so, you know, sell this one. It's $26.99. I got 69 problems. See, this is the dream, though, Chris, to be this big of a name that you can, like, peddle this kind of crap.
I feel like you're close, Jim.
Yeah, but what kind of shirts could I make? Like, you have better taglines. You could sell a shirt. I don't know why you're not selling a shirt right now that reads, what is it, winning is the greatest deodorant?
Winning is the ultimate deodorant.
The ultimate deodorant. Like, yeah, that's a bumper sticker waiting to
you
happen.
You think so?
Yeah, someone's going to steal that from you. Maybe I should steal that from you.
Yeah, maybe you should.
Murray'sJunk.com on my crap t-shirts and bumper stickers. Man, like, you can make that kind of money. That's the dream.
I feel like you could sell hats and stuff. There's all kinds of merch you can move.
Yeah, custom paperboy hats. Now you too can look like a
sunglasses.
Yeah, sunglasses for the studio because it's too bright. It's the Big Jim Murray kit. I put that on online for $39.99. Five people would buy them, maybe.
No. I think that would be a big seller. That would be a big seller. I think it would be big on the South Shore. That's a big South Shore look.
We will now segue into the Sports Hub Celtics show. A lot to talk about with this team as they finally return from the All-Star break with a dud in Milwaukee on Thursday. So we'll touch on that. Kyrie Irving and his reaction to Steve Volpett from the Boston Herald earlier this week, seemingly coming unhinged anytime a microphone or camera's put in front of his face. We'll get to all of that coming up in the next hour here on 98.5 Sports Hub. But first, let's hear from Tim McCone. He'll give you the latest here in the Sports Hub headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.